Good morning, church. Grace and peace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to this time of worship at Faith Community United Methodist Church. Good to be with you this morning. This is the first Sunday of the month, which means that it is Communion Sunday. And we are continuing our practice of using the prepackaged kits for communion, which are out in the narthex. Hopefully you got one as you came in. If you didn't, then you're welcome to go out and get one and come back in. There are two, I'll just remind you, there are two seals on that. There's a very fine, clear plastic seal on top of the bread, and then there's a larger seal underneath that for the juice. So when it's time for the bread, make sure you just get the clear plastic one so that you don't accidentally open the juice and spill that on yourself. But it's not our favorite way of taking communion, but we're glad that we do have this way that we can continue to be safe, but to celebrate the sacrament together. The picture directories are in. I'm sure some of you probably got yours on your way in this morning. If you didn't get yours yet, there are times listed in the bulletin as to when you can pick that up. There's a Tuesday during the day and in the evening, a Wednesday evening, and then again next Sunday for a half hour before each of the worship services. So make sure that you get your picture directory. And then after everybody who has their picture in there gets their directories, I'm sure we'll have extras for those who want one as well. There's an announcement in the bulletin about Sally Brown's birthday, which is coming up this Thursday, and we want to bless her for her birthday with a birthday card shower. And her address is in there, and just inviting anybody to send Sally Brown a card for her birthday to help her celebrate. And as you can see, we have the screens back this morning. We're glad to finally have them back. We had a problem with the computer. There was a driver problem with the computer that controls the screens, and it had to be sent out to the shop to be fixed, and it's back. We're hoping that it's fixed. Now, this is the first time we've used it since it's been back, so if the glitch should happen again, I apologize for that. We'll just turn them off so that it's not distracting, but it is good to have the screens back, and we're praying that they're all fixed and will help us in our worship. And now we do enter into worship, and so I invite you to stand as you're able and join in the call to worship.
Your steadfast love, O God, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies.
Your righteousness is like the mountains, your wisdom as deep as the sea.
How precious is your faithfulness to us, O God.
All may come to take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Come, let us worship God.
And let us worship God by singing our opening hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, number 103.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth. Thou reignest in glory, thou dwellest. dost delight. Thy angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. Oh Lord, we would render, or help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee.
You may be seated and join in our opening prayer. Almighty and merciful God, we open our hearts to you, trusting that your love and goodness is stronger than all our shortcomings. We have been afraid to trust you, and we have forgotten the assurance of your unending presence. We have sacrificed our convictions, quieted our voices, given up when the task before us seems too great. Forgive us for all these things, and help us to be guided by your Spirit, and to be filled with the one who gives us life. Amen.
Amen. We're going to join responsively now in reading Psalm 139. If you would like to follow along in the hymnal, it is on pages 854 and 855 in the back of the hymnal. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Sit down, and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it altogether. You pursue me behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from your spirit? Whither shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, let only darkness cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for you are fearful and wonderful. Wonderful are your works. You know me very well. Intricately wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written the days that were formed for me, every day before they came into being. How profound to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me. Do I not hate them that hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe them that rise up against you? I count them as my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let us prepare our hearts for prayer as we sing together number 355, Depth of Mercy.
Still reserved for me. Can my God his wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare. I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him to his face, would not hearken to his calls, grieved him by a thousand falls. I my master have denied, I afresh have crucified, oft profaned his hallowed name, put him to an open shame. Therefore me the Savior stands, shows his wounds and spreads his hands. God is love, I know I feel. Jesus weeps and loves me still. Now incline me to repent. Let me now my sins lament. Now my foul revolt is o'er. Weep, believe, and sin no more.
Let us pray. O Lord, we come to you now in this worship, seeking your mercy, bowing ourselves at your feet. For we know, Lord, that your love is beyond our deserving, beyond even our understanding, that the sacrifice that you made was for us because of our sin. And so we grieve the ways that we have let you down. We grieve the ways that we have failed one another in love. Lord, forgive us. Lord, shower us with your mercy once again. Lord, as we seek the peace of your presence, we know, Lord, that there are storms raging all around us. When we feel like we are drowning in the sea, when we feel swallowed by those concerns that are beyond our control, remind us, Lord, that there is nothing beyond your control, that you are our sovereign God, and that you are our good and loving God, and that we can trust you in all things, even when we don't understand, even when we cry out to you in our pain. We know, Lord, that you are there with your comfort and your goodness. And so comfort us now, Lord, in this time of worship, and strengthen us in our service to you and in our living in love with you and with one another, this day and forevermore, as we offer ourselves to you in the name of Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
lasting portion, more than friend or life to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, not for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee. Lead me through the veil of shadows, bear me o'er life's fitful sea. Then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with thee. Lord, with thee, Lord, with thee, Lord, with thee, Lord, with thee. Though the gate of life eternal, may I enter, Lord, with thee.
Amen.
Our scripture lesson today is from the book of Jonah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your holy temple? The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty, but I, with a voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah out upon the dry land. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. A man thrown into the raging sea, swallowed whole by a giant fish, He survives for 3 days inside the fish's belly, and then the fish spews him out on dry land. There couldn't possibly be a better story for capturing the imagination of a child than this story of Jonah and the whale. Yes, I know I just used the word whale and the word fish interchangeably, and yes, I know that whales are mammals and not fish, but the Bible in Jonah actually calls it a giant fish, and in other parts of the Bible it calls it a whale. The fact is that we don't exactly know what kind of a creature this was, whether it was a whale and the book of Jonah uses the word fish figuratively, or whether it was a fish and other parts of the Bible use the word whale figuratively, but that's not really the point, is it? The point is that this man got swallowed by some type of enormous sea creature, and somehow he survived. I say somehow he survived. It's not really a mystery how he survived for those 3 days. This was God's doing. God was the one protecting him in the belly of the whale. God was the one who caused him to be swallowed by the whale in the first place. In fact, it was even God who caused the storm that got Jonah thrown into the sea that caused him to be swallowed by the whale. Perhaps we should back up to the beginning of the story. As fascinating as the part is about being swallowed by the whale, there is more to the story than just that. And without the rest of the story, the part about the whale doesn't really have that much meaning beyond just being an interesting and miraculous tale. The story begins when God calls a Hebrew prophet named Jonah to go and preach the word of God in Nineveh. But Jonah didn't want to go preach in Nineveh. Now, when I say he didn't want to go preach in Nineveh, I don't just mean that he had something better to do that day. This isn't like God said, go down the street and talk to your neighbor about Jesus, and you don't want to do it because, well, you might be embarrassed, and what are they going to think about you, and religion is a private matter, yada, yada, yada. No, when I say Jonah didn't want to go preach in Nineveh, you need to understand what Nineveh was at that time. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. They were the arch enemies of the Jewish people. They were the ones that were always on the verge of attack, of destroying Jerusalem, destroying the Jewish nation. Nineveh was a city that the prophet Nahum described as a city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims. Many casualties, piles of dead, bodies without number, people stumbling over corpses. And God tells Jonah to go there and preach. Why would God waste his time with those kind of people? It's no wonder that when that call came, Jonah went down to the seaport, bought a ticket, boarded a ship, headed in the other direction. Jonah couldn't imagine why God would possibly be concerned with preaching to the Ninevites, or why he, Jonah, had to have any part in it. Did God really think that it would make a difference? And more than that, did God really still care about these murderous and treacherous people? If giving the Ninevites another chance was God's plan, Jonah wanted nothing to do with that plan. But God's plans would not be thwarted. God brought on a great storm that threatened to sink the ship that Jonah was in. Why? Because the ship was headed in the wrong direction. Jonah was trying to run away. And God wouldn't have it. Jonah knew this. He knew what had caused the storm. He knew that this was all his fault. And so to save the lives of the rest of the people on the boat, he told them to throw him into the sea. They didn't want to do it at first, but, you know, when the storms are raging and your life's in danger and someone says, well, if you throw me overboard, you all will be safe, well, it's hard to resist that. So overboard Jonah went. But he didn't drown. Instead, he was swallowed by a great fish where he was kept safe for 3 days. The reading that we heard this morning from Jonah 2 is his prayer to God from inside the belly of the fish. It's a prayer of thanksgiving because God has protected Jonah, given him a second chance. And at the end of the chapter, it says, the Lord spoke to the fish and it spewed Jonah out upon the dry land. With Jonah out on dry land once again, the Lord calls to him a second time with that awesome and terrifying task. Go to the great city Nineveh and proclaim the message I give you. And this time, Jonah does what God says. Terrifying as the task may be, Jonah had learned his lesson. Wouldn't you? Now here's the most amazing part of the story. The Ninevites actually receive the word of God and they believe it. They declare a fast and repent, and God forgives them. God says he's not going to destroy them after all. When you understand who the Ninevites were, you realize that this part of the story is even more miraculous than Jonah surviving those 3 days in the belly of a whale. Nineveh, the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, flashing swords and glittering spears, many casualties, piles of dead, bodies without number, people stumbling over the corpses. And yet, God didn't give up on them. God kept after them. God sent Jonah to them because God knew that they would receive the word from Jonah and repent and be saved from destruction. Amazing. Miracle of miracles. If God wouldn't give up on the Ninevites, even the Ninevites, who would God give up on? Murderers, adulterers, slanderers, thieves, and yet God loved them so much that he called a reluctant Hebrew prophet, followed him as he fled in the other direction, protected him for 3 days in the belly of the whale, had him spewed out on dry land, called him a second time, led him all the way to Nineveh, and gave him the words to speak that would save the people of Nineveh from destruction. The very people that Jonah considered his enemies, the very people who were the enemies of God. If God is willing to go through all of that to save a bunch of murderers, adulterers, slanderers, and thieves, how far is God willing to go for you and for me? Here is where we come to the relationship between the story of Jonah and the story of Jesus. Jesus himself drew the connection. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus proclaimed to the scribes and the Pharisees who were asking him for a sign. He said, "An evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so for 3 days and three nights the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth. The people of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the proclamation of Jonah. And see, something greater than Jonah is here." Jesus says that the story of Jonah is a sign pointing to him. But what kind of sign? Jesus points out the obvious, that Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, and Jesus will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. But the sign of Jonah goes even beyond that. Jesus points out that the people of Nineveh repented at the proclamation of Jonah, that this repentance was God's intention. Repentance was God's intention for the people of Nineveh, and repentance was God's intention for the scribes and the Pharisees as well. The people of Nineveh, who were once considered enemies of God, on the day of judgment, they will rise up above those who were considered the chosen people, because the people of Nineveh repented while the chosen people in the days of Jesus refused to believe. When we look at the people to whom Jesus was speaking, and we consider the message of the story of Jonah as a whole, the meaning of this sign begins to open up. Jesus was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. the good religious folks who kept order in the Jewish society. They were the keepers and the interpreters of God's law. They were the ones who kept a tally sheet of what people needed to do in order to be accepted by God. They were the ones who determined who was in and who was out in the eyes of God. And then we look at the story of Jonah and the amazing account of God's compassion and mercy for all people, regardless of their station in life, regardless of their place of birth or their ethnic identity or their sordid past. By drawing an analogy between himself and the story of Jonah, Jesus is demonstrating for those who wanted to put up barriers between people, he was showing them the incredible, unbelievable, even irrational lengths that God will go to in order to extend grace to all people. For just as in the story of Jonah, God's compassion was proclaimed even to those who were outside the community of faith, just as in the story of Jonah, God proclaims mercy on those who have broken every commandment that God has ever made, so too, Christ came so that all people might be offered a second chance at life, a third chance at life, a hundredth chance, a thousandth chance. Christ came so that all people might be able to hear God's word and respond to God's message of redemption and receive new life. By pointing to the sign of Jonah as the key to understanding who he was and what he was about, Jesus was saying to the scribes and the Pharisees, I am the one who has come to offer God's grace and forgiveness to all who will receive it, not just to those who think that they're living by all the rules, not just to those who were born in the right neighborhood or the right country, not just to those who have already cleaned up their act. No, Christ says, I came for those who need me the most. I came for the worst of the worst. I came for the last and the lost, says Jesus. Jesus spent 3 days in the belly of the earth. Not for those who think that they're already doing pretty well. He spent those 3 days in the belly of the earth to save sinners, to redeem those who had no hope at all. And friends, whether you realize it or not, that means you. And that means me. Christ died for our sins. Even while we were sinners. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. In his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, author Philip Yancey tells this, the true story of Will Campbell, who was a Christian activist from Mississippi during the civil rights movement of the 1960s. Campbell found that during the struggle for racial equality, it was often the good church folks that he had to battle against the hardest. The very people who were supposed to be proclaiming the message of God's grace to all people were the very ones enforcing laws which kept people isolated from one another and favored one race over another. One day, Campbell was challenged by an agnostic newspaper editor named P.D. East, who was antagonistic towards Christianity. East couldn't stomach the racial hatred promoted among good church folk, and he couldn't understand why Campbell was clinging to the Christian faith. So he asked him one day, in 10 words or less, what's the Christian message? Now, in Campbell's answer, he used a word that I don't want to say in the pulpit. It's a word that begins with the letter B, and it means an illegitimate child. We're all bees, but God loves us anyway. That was Campbell's summary of the Christian message. We're all bees, but God loves us anyway. Campbell used that particular B word not merely for its shock value, but for its theological accuracy. Spiritually speaking, we are all of us illegitimate. We have absolutely no claim to God's kingdom. We're invited into God's family not because of our birthright, but because of God's overflowing love and grace, God choosing to adopt us. Campbell didn't realize it at the time, but P.D. East had been born to a single mother, and he had been called that particular word throughout his life. The definition obviously struck home with him, because sometime later he decided to put that definition to the test. Campbell's good friend and fellow activist Jonathan Daniels had just been murdered by a police officer. On one of the darkest days of Campbell's life, as he was trying to cope with the loss of his good friend, this antagonistic newspaper editor insisted on putting Campbell's definition of the Christian faith to the test. First, P.D. asked, "Was Jonathan a bee?" Campbell replied that his friend was one of the gentlest people he had ever known. But everybody is a sinner, so yes, in that sense he was. And next, P.D. asked if the officer who murdered Jonathan was a bee. That question was easy to answer. Absolutely he was. And then P.D. asked the clincher, "Which one of them do you think God loves the most?" That's the question that drove the truth of the gospel home for Campbell. He writes, "The notion that a man could go to a store where a group of unarmed human beings are drinking soda pop and eating moon pies, fire a shotgun blast at one of them, tear his lungs from and heart and bowels from his body, turn on another and send lead pellets ripping through his flesh and bones, and that God would set him free is almost more than I could stand." And then he goes on, "But unless that is precisely the case, then there is no gospel. There is no good news." Campbell went on to become a self-proclaimed apostle to the rednecks. I don't know if he could get away with calling himself that today, but that's what he called himself back then, apostle to the rednecks. Because he realized that God's grace extends not only to those who are working for justice, but even to those who stand opposed to God's justice. God stands ready to set each and every person free from their sins, regardless of what those sins have been. Every person is given the chance to repent and be saved. God showed this truth to the prophet Jonah and the people of Nineveh. But that story was simply a sign pointing to the fulfillment of this truth in Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life as a ransom for the whole world, so that all people in all places for all time might be given the chance to repent and be saved. The truth of the gospel was more than Jonah could stand. When God forgave the Ninevites and spared their lives, Jonah stormed off in anger. He yelled at God, "See, this is why I didn't want to come here in the first place. I knew you were a merciful God and would forgive them if they repented." Jonah didn't want the Ninevites to repent. He didn't want them to be forgiven. He wanted them destroyed. God's mercy and compassion to these Gentile sinners was actually offensive to Jonah. Why would those murderers, adulterers, slanderers, and thieves get off scot-free? The truth of the gospel was more than the scribes and the Pharisees could stomach. Jesus was cavorting with tax collectors, eating with sinners, keeping company with prostitutes, ministering to Gentiles. He forgave a woman who was caught in adultery. He forgave a thief while hanging on the cross. How could he do such things? Let us not forget, though, he also forgave us while he was hanging on that cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I know he was talking about me that day. I know he was talking about you that day. Let's face it, we're all bees. We're all sinners. God loves us anyway. Christ came so that each one of us might be freed from our sins, no matter how bad those sins have been, no matter how chronic our rebellion from God has been. Jonah was preserved 3 days in the belly of the whale so that the enemies of God could hear the word and repent and be saved. Jesus spent 3 days in death in the belly of the earth so that all people could hear about the grace of God and repent and receive life in Jesus' name. Thanks be to God. And now we have the opportunity to celebrate that wonderful, amazing grace of God in Jesus Christ as we come to the time of Holy Communion, where we receive together that sacrament of Christ giving himself for us so that we could be forgiven, so that we could receive that new life. And so I invite you to turn with me now to the prayer of the Great Thanksgiving as we prepare for the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. In his baptism and in table fellowship, he took his place with sinners. Your Spirit anointed him to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now I invite you to take the piece of bread, the body of Christ, broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of him. The cup of salvation poured out in the blood of Jesus Christ. Take and drink in remembrance of him. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, thank you for filling us with your grace once again, pouring out your love upon us. Lord, thank you for receiving us, even us, forgiving our sins, drawing us into fellowship with yourself and communion with one another. Continue to fill us and lead us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you now to stand as you are able for our closing hymn, which is number 369 in the hymnal, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine! Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
As God's forgiven and loved and reconciled people, go now in the love and the grace of God our Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.